This is Overdrive on TSN 1050.
All right, confirm or deny in about a half an hour. Our buddy Luke Wilson will join us here in a few moments as well. And get his take on a bunch of NFL news, bunch of football news, including, you know, more dysfunction with the Chicago Bears, of course. Raekwon Smith is not demanded to trade because he feels like he's being disrespected in contract negotiations. And based on the reports I've seen in terms of the way the Bears are approaching it, I think he's got a, you know, just case right now, really.
Yeah.
And it's the Bears. You know, this is what they do. They screw up everything. So catch up with Luke in a few moments. The Jays are back in action tonight. Alek Manoah. You know, the bats have been great. Like, they've been offensively, this team is putting up numbers for the better part of a month, you know, in terms of team numbers. There are independent players who have been struggling at times at the plate. But the offense has been there. Even last night, you know, they were down early, and they made it a game. They battled back. I expect the bats to continue tonight, especially considering who's on a mound for Baltimore. But when Manoah's on the mound, it quickly becomes the Alek Manoah show. And considering the way Kikuchi pitched last night, Barrios on the mound tomorrow, pressure on him, man. He's got to perform. He's got to go. Him and Gausman have got to go every time they're on the mound.
Yeah, it's a weighty burden to carry when you know you're the only guy this team can count on at this point. And Gausman, obviously, but between those two and Kikuchi and Barrios, who've had their struggles, very tough on Alek Manoah. But the thing with Alek Manoah is, Hayes, like, there and Andy, there isn't a part of me when I look at this kid that feels like he would have a trouble with that. Like,
me neither.
He looks like he could handle anything, including the fact that they're really relying on him probably way too much.
Yeah. No, it's a testament to how he's arrived, how he is not, like, there has not been an issue where the moment has been too big for him at any point. Is, you know, pitching at Yankee Stadium. Like, he goes in there and dominates the Yankees whenever he pitches.
All-star and game, no big
all-star
deal.
All-star game, no big deal.
And you can't teach that. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you can't teach that kind of calm. You can't teach that kind of personality that just deals with that pressure, right? Like, it's, you know, diamonds are made from pressure. And he, you know, you could either crack or you could either turn into something great. But it's just not something you can teach, right? You either have that ability or you don't. And the fact that he has it so early on in his career is something that's really special too, because just the more experience he gets, the more he's just doing this.
That's right.
Right? The less and less things will faze him or, you know, get under his skin, right? That's at least the thinking based on his personality right
now.
That's
right. That's where the comparisons come from. It's not, you know, exact replicates in terms of what he throws, how he throws it. But when names like Halliday and Clemens come up, it's because of their presence. It's because of their ability to step on the mound in a game like tonight, and you fully expect that they'll perform. And he's done that all year. You know, he's coming off a great performance his last time out. Baltimore, they're playing well. Like, Baltimore, they're young, they're pesky, they hit for power. And it's not going to be easy, but I fully expect he performs tonight. I'd be surprised if he didn't.
And speaking of athletes, by the way, since we were talking about the O-Dog, Hayes, I was speaking of athletes who perform under pressure and those who maybe wilt under a little bit of adversity. I haven't got your response yet to the O-Dog's tweet on the weekend, talking about Tom Kim, who, of course, won the PGA Tour event at the Wyndham, 20-year-old guy, phenom. O-Dog tweeted out something to the effect of, Tom Kim took an 8 on the opening hole and won a tour event. I know someone who takes an 8 on the opening hole and ruins the day for everyone else. Initials BH. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think Mike Ditka, who Mike Ditka is talking about there, not Mike Trout. The initials, of course, BH would be Brian Hayes. He's talking about me. You know, he's not even being overly subtle. He might as well just say my name. Why go with the initials? Everyone knows who he's talking about. The thing is, you know, I can't necessarily argue against that for the next two or three holes anyway. It may be misery, and I might have to drag everyone else into the pit. You know, to suggest that the rest of the 17 holes are a misery for everyone is not the truth. That I take serious umbrage in that, but walking from the first green to the second tee, that's not going to be fun for anyone if I take a quad. But listen, same thing applies with him. Mike Trout, Mike Ditka, Jeff O'Neill, whatever the hell his name is, It's the same thing. If he takes a quad, considering how good of a player he is, he'd be freaking. He'd be snapping. Who's happy in a scenario like that?
The worst, and I say this with love because he's a good friend, but the worst person to golf with, and this was like in the beginning too. Maybe this is what's traumatized me and why I just don't golf as much as I should. Because in the beginning, the person tasked with teaching me how to golf was Jim Ralph. He's like, Andy, I'll take you. We'll go golfing. So I actually, quite a bit, there was, you know, during the summer times when we were both with Leafs TV, you know, and I would have my summers off starting in April because they wouldn't make the playoffs. We would actually go golfing quite a bit. The swearing. He would talk to me as if I actually cared about his problems. I wish I could hit it this, and do you know the velocity? And then I'm like, bro, I don't know anything you're saying. But he grumbled the whole way through.
It really is embarrassing.
This can't be my life right now.
I'm guilty of it as well, Andy, and it is embarrassing. You get four guys out there who aren't that good, who think they're good, and complain about everything, myself included. I was in a divot. Bad light. No one cares. Like, no, the other people do not care about your issues, but you have to explain it, right?
No, I was like, beer cart girl. I'm like, get a beer, chill
there
out.
There you go. Yeah,
exactly.
That's reasonable. That's a reasonable approach. Anyway, Luke Wilson will join us here in a moment. Do we have Luke on the line? Yes, we do have our buddy Luke. And the NFL training camps they're underway. We've already had a game. Right? The Raiders, they won, they covered. That went over. That was one of the more degenerate moments of my life.
Yes,
I was pushing for literally a late field goal to push over the number, which I believe I called last week, which is so pathetic. But here is Super Bowl winner, longtime NFL tight end, TSN NFL analyst, our good buddy Luke Wilson. What's up, Luke?
How we doing?
Doing well. Yeah, hitting overs in the Hall of Fame game, man. That was a good start to get the ball rolling.
I was going to say, that's a gutsy one right there. A lot of weird things can happen in the preseason.
They sure can. Well, speaking of which, how about Matt LaFleur, the head coach in Green Bay, announcing that Aaron Rodgers will not play in the preseason because of uncertainty with the offensive line? How would you be feeling if you were a part of that offensive line? I guess as a tight end, you would sometimes stack up as a sixth man on the line. Would you take that personally or what?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. But I think that's probably why he did it. You know, especially at this stage of Aaron's career, I don't know even if they had a great offensive line, if he would be playing much in the preseason. And if he's looked good in camp, which I'm assuming he has, they definitely probably don't be like, oh, you know, let's get some live game reps for you. You know, the dude's done a lot of live game reps in his life. So maybe he's been upset with the offensive line and it's kind of saying that to light a fire under their ass a little bit, if you will, because that's definitely a strange one for a coach to come out and say that in the media.
Speaking of strange ones, Luke, obviously Hayes here, big Packers fan, big Rodgers fan, boy. But some of the stuff Rodgers has been up to recently revealing that he's big on, I believe it's ayahuasca, the psychedelic treatment of some sort. I'm
a
little
shrooms?
Bit ignorant on. Yeah,
no,
shrooms?
It's not shrooms.
It's just shrooms.
It's not shrooms.
What is it?
I don't know exactly
what
it is.
It sounds like it, but it's not.
I'm sure you're familiar, Luke, with what we're speaking about here. The NFL has said he will not be penalized because this does not violate the NFL drug policy. But if you're a teammate of this guy, and we know he's a two-time reigning MVP of the league, what do you make of, you know, some of these cleanses and other sort of new agey things that Aaron Rodgers is up to these days?
Okay, well, I'm going to just kind of go back a little bit. The drug policy in the NFL, it's very well known against four players that if you're Aaron Rodgers, it don't matter what drugs you're taking, they don't give a damn. Okay, they don't give a damn. And to be honest with you, nobody in the locker room really cares either. So I want to kind of point that out that, you know, even our, it's very strange, but the, you know, you'll hear the marijuana stuff where like the way we were tested was, hey, we're tested once a year. If you pass that test, you're good. And they tell you the general time frame of when those tests would happen. So the NFL is really not trying to get anybody, if that makes sense. And then if you have a household name like Aaron, I'm telling you, even if Aaron, unless it was absolutely egregious or they thought it was like a mental health issue, Aaron Rodgers could pretty much take any drug he wants and have it on a test, and the NFL is not going to say anything about it. Secondly, as far as like being in the locker room, it's tough because it's like is it a little strange if it's true? Sure. But if you're a receiver, an O-lineman, or any of those guys, and this man's taken whatever, and he comes out and is the MVP of the league, you're probably hyped that he's taking this stuff. And I know that's probably a bit of a strange take and maybe not the Canadian way, but it's like if Aaron has an MVP season, that makes everybody else around him better. And, you know, you're a little more lucrative as a player when it comes to free agent stuff. And, I mean, it's tough to win in that league. So for him to come out there and, you know, obviously they haven't won the whole thing, but they've had some very, very strong seasons. You're not giving a damn if you're a player in that locker room what he's taking if he's playing like he is.
And he's claiming that he's been doing this for a couple of years now. So, you know, I'm more, I wouldn't say concerned, but I'm curious where Blue of Earth is going to factor into the outcome of the season.
Exactly.
I also think with Aaron, I could be wrong, but I think Aaron likes to troll a little bit. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, you know, I think he was very agitated. You look at some of the ways he's been portrayed in the media. The, you know, I go back to the year, a couple years ago when he told everybody to relax. And there was the, it looks like Aaron doesn't care about football in week one. And then I think they went out and won the division that year. Obviously, there was the political stuff with the COVID vaccine and what he said and going on. And I think at this point of Aaron's career, he realizes that, you know, he's one of the few guys that he's not bigger than the NFL, but at this point, he probably, the NFL wants him more than maybe he wants the NFL, if that makes sense. And I think that he's kind of messing with people a little bit. So it wouldn't surprise me if he's sitting back and trolling on some of this stuff.
Sure. When you've been a story for so long, at some point you embrace it and you do it and you're like, watch, I'm going to drop this stink bomb and you know, look at everyone's reaction. I could totally buy that.
Yes.
Fights in preseason or fights in training camp, obviously, you know, Luke is nothing new. We, you know, whenever we see them, be it in football, hockey, you name it, we always talk about. And the players always just brush it off. They're like, whatever, you know, it's the heat of the moment, is what it is. And we had like, what, a couple fights in Giants camp? I don't know if, A, you want to comment on that, but, B, do you have a good little fight story that may have happened in practice?
Yeah, to me, fighting in training camp is you know, pretty standard. It's gotten a lot less and less because coaches are starting to get fined. I've got a couple good ones for you. You know, the one year in – this is where it gets a little strange as a player, was a lot of times with the fighting, you know, you're not getting individually fined. I think it's starting to head that way now. But practices will be canceled or shortened or – off-season will be suspended. So I remember in Seattle, we had a year where we were brawling every day, not even in camp, in like OTAs. And the NFL will check this to make sure that everybody's not quote-unquote cheating or doing whatever. And the next year, we had a day of mini camp suspended. And then we fought the next year in mini camp. And then all of a sudden, we had a whole week of OTAs taken away. And I don't think anyone said it out loud, but I kind of laughed because it was like, in the locker room, all of us looking around like, wait, so if we fight, we get the whole week off of off season? This is incredible. A couple years later, when I was in Detroit, we had done a joint practice with Oakland, and it was Oakland at the time. They practice in campus in Napa Valley. It was 100 degrees out. You know, John Gruden, it was his first year, Patricia's first year. Both guys are, you know, kind of a bit old school. So it was a very, very physical practice. Again, this is a couple weeks into training camp. And we had a pretty good brawl that broke out, and then it kept kind of lingering from play to play. So they were just like, okay, we're done with practice. And again, it was this weird kind of dichotomy where some of the veteran guys, at that point I was a little older, I was like, that's, you know, not the worst thing in the world. Let's put it to you that way. So it does get a little, you know, there's some benefits to fighting if you're on the player side. It did get a little uncomfortable later when they started fining Pete Carroll a lot of money. And then all of a sudden it was like, you know, if you get in a fight today, we're kicking you individually out of practice. And then it got weird because, you know, in camp you are fighting for your job no matter what. year you're in, no matter what position you're playing. So I think it kind of died off then.
With Luke Wilson, our TSN football analyst. So the reports out of Carolina is that Baker Mayfield has been very impressive, and he's got the one up on Sam Darnold. I never believed that this was a true competition. Darnold has been so bad. He was so awful last year, and it's not like Baker's been great either. But they went out to get Baker to play Baker. I've always believed that. Where do you stand on this competition? Do you believe it's actually a realistic one? And, you know, what could possibly happen if they're both healthy that would lead to Sam Darnold playing week one?
Nothing. Right. I mean, you nailed it. And it's, and I do think Baker Mayfield is a good quarterback in this league. You know, obviously last year wasn't his best year. Has he had lights out numbers? Maybe not. But let's go back like 2 years ago. The man was a starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns who beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs. I mean, I'm sure there are some Brown fans out there that'll trust me when I say this. Like, I didn't think I would ever see that. That'd be like saying that the Lions are going to win a playoff game in my lifetime. I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
No, me neither.
It's like you sit here and, you know, let's look at, like, Matt Stafford. You know, he obviously, as for me, growing up a lifelong Lions fan, you think of all the quarterbacks before Matt, and it's like Matt Stafford was in an organization similar to Cleveland Browns with the Detroit Lions and kind of a lot of issues. And Matt Stafford never won a playoff game. The moment he gets out of there, goes to a team that's really trying to win, focus on playing ball. He's a Super Bowl champ now. And it's like with Baker, he was into a very, very bad situation. We've all seen the picture of the guy that there's like 30 quarterbacks. He just keeps crossing out their names. Cleveland's had a worse quarterback situation than the Lions in the last 20 years. And, I mean, he was pretty solid. And now all of a sudden you get him into – I think Carolina's a pretty good organization. You know, you look at a couple of Cam Newton years they've strung together. If I'm dating myself here, but you look at is it Jake Delhomme years? I believe they got to the Super Bowl back then as well. Like, clearly they're doing something right over there in Carolina. They are usually a winning team. I would be surprised if Baker does not kind of flourish. And I do know their GM is a former Seattle guy. So he's obviously got some experience with, you know, what it takes to win. And I would be very surprised if Baker, not only does he not start, but has a very, very good year over there.
So, Luke, you made reference to one of your old teams, your beloved Detroit Lions. I don't know if you've seen the viral clip, but Jamal Williams, running back for the Lions, is you know, getting plenty of traction from a Hard Knocks clip where he gives his teammates a pep talk and gets pretty emotional. Essentially saying, you know, when you think about, you know, quitting in practice or not working hard, think about that bleeping record. Of course, they had 3 wins last year. What did you make of that? And if you haven't seen it, what kind of effect can a pep talk from a teammate have on a team?
Yeah, I did see the clip. I sent it to a couple of my former teammates, not on the Lions in Seattle, for the comedic side of it. I don't know. I mean, again, I don't know the situation in Detroit. I kind of have a bit of a different mentality. And I'm a little older now. But to me, that was very, like, high school-esque, college-esque energy where, you know, I was fortunate when I got in the league and I was a rookie. You know, I was on a team that was 13-3 and eventually won the Super Bowl. And it was a very mature attitude when it came to situations like that. You know, the whole, like, think about last year, think about this, think about that. Again, it's kind of a weird thing for me, but it's like you try and pick motivation from, like, external factors, extrinsic type things, when it's like, for me, the teams that I were on that were the best, it was very, like, everybody was very internally motivated, if you will. We didn't really need much motivation. The years were really good in Seattle to get going. We didn't, you know, it was never like, think about this last year. It was like, hey, we're professionals. There's a lot of people that are 30 years old here, have been doing this their whole life. Like, we know what it takes to win. we got to go out here and rip it. So, I don't know. That was kind of – I did see the clip, and especially, again, if I was playing there, I don't know if that would have really got me super motivated, if I'm being honest. It was kind of a little cringeworthy for me.
Well, it was so set up, right? Like, Dan Campbell was like, go ahead and give your – it was almost like they spoke ahead of time. Like, what are we going to say here? I don't know, man. I don't see the Dan Campbell thing working. I just don't. It's too much. It's burpees in practice with the boys. You know, come on. We get it. You're a fiery guy. But
it does get a little – it's a little strange, you know, and maybe he does pull it off. But, again, like, it's just not – if I'm not an NFL head coach, but I have been a part of some, you know, really good teams. And it's just not the way that I would do it. To me, when I think of some of the teams that I've been on and some of the teams that I've, you know, have had buddies that have been on, like, there's a level of fun, there's a level of intensity, but there's also a level of, like, professionalism, business, like, this is how we're going to attack the game, or, like, a lot of the stuff that out of Detroit to me gets a little high schoolish, and I'm just like, I don't know. And I know I make a lot of jokes on here. You guys have heard me, you know, kind of ragging on the Lions, and I spent a year in that organization. But I don't see it. You know, and maybe they do better this year, but I don't know. You know, at what point is, like, right now you think 8-8, or eight, I guess 8-9, or 9-8 would be, like, a good year for them, you know, especially coming out last year. And it's just like, that's not it. Like, that's not, that shouldn't be the goal. The goal shouldn't be 9-8 and be like, oh, we had a decent year. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things. Maybe one day I can get on here and I'll just have a Lions chat only. But there's a lot of things going on in that building that's a little strange.
We will. Don't you worry, man. We'll find time for that. Always find time for that. Well, it's great getting you back on. There's going to be a lot of these chats in the future. We're looking forward to it. We're into camps, the season beginning in a month. It's almost go time, buddy. Enjoy it while you can throughout August. We'll do it again soon.
Sounds good. Appreciate you having me on.
You got it. Luke Wilson, Super Bowl champ, former tight end in Seattle and in Detroit, and our TSN NFL analyst. Yeah. Like, Hard Knocks is a great show because what you need is dysfunction. You need the Lions. And Dan Campbell is going to try to be so heroic on that show.
Oh, yeah.
And the Williams, you know, pep talk, it's somewhat inspirational. But when you're dealing with grown men in there, I'm with Luke. I don't see it landing. And it's not like Jamal Williams has won 5 Super Bowls and MVPs. Like, that's your voice box? And it was just so premeditated where Campbell was like, all right, you go in there and say your thing. You know, it was almost like Campbell wrote the speech out and just had Williams relay. That's how I kind of felt. I don't know.
Well, that's how these types of shows evolve, right? Like,
yes.
The first few, it's always raw and everyone's still kind of figuring it out and like, what is this? And that's when you're authentic, that's when they're the best. And then it becomes a thing and everyone's like, oh, when it's our team's turn, I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that. And you're like, now it's scripted again.
I was going to say, Hayes, I bet Andy probably does that with the broadcast team at the Olympics. She probably pulls them all together in a huddle and just lets it rip before the opening ceremony. Don't you think, Hayes?
I can see that.
I do the Madonna back in the day. I get everyone to hold hands. We do a prayer before we go and do our show. But when the Olympics are all said and done, I may give a speech served with some beverages
afterwards.
There you go.
Okay. That's the kind of speech I can get behind.
100% Andy does that.
That's one that I fully support.
That's leadership. That's leadership.
That's in the rear view leadership.
Break up the bubbly.
That's what we love. Yes. We've all succeeded. I'm probably going to win another award. Let's drink. Cheers.
Wine on
She's me. Buying. Andy's
yes.
buying.
Exactly. That I can absolutely support. All right, confirm or deny is coming up. The Jays back in action. We'll tee that up later in the hour. We'll catch up with confirm or deny, or we'll, I guess, perform, whatever you want to call it, confirm or deny next.
I can neither confirm or deny that this is, in fact, a segment.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for confirm or deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
All right, confirm or deny. Brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Lease the 2022 RX350 premium package from just $318 biweekly for 39 months. Available for immediate delivery. Details at DonValleyNorthLexus.com. All right. We may have a couple on the fly confirm or denies, you know. Does the O-Dog look like Mike Trout? Confirm or deny. will more athletes use evolving away from their sport as opposed to retiring from their sport? That's maybe we'll bookend those, okay? We'll save that for the end.
All right.
But let's get this party started. Sidney Crosby turned 35 this week. Now, I don't believe he is on the verge of evolving away from his NHL career. I think he's going to play for a number of years. But let's look into the future here. Confirm or deny, Sidney Crosby will have a visible role in the hockey world after he retires from playing. Visible could mean media, management, ownership, but visible. He will not just disappear. He will still be a big part of the hockey world. Sidney Crosby.
I'm going to say confirm because it's going to go based on a story I once heard where, you know, a coach had said to him, like, hey, what do you have planned for this summer? You know, the end of season meetings. And it was like, well, I'm going to do this, this, this. And it was all about, like, what he was going to do to prepare for hockey, right? Even though the season, it, relax, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, clearly maybe end of August start doing some things. But it was almost like immediate, the things that he was listing that he was going to do. And his coach was like, yeah, but what are you going to do for fun? Like, what are you going to do to let the game go? And apparently Sidney just looked at him like he had seven heads. Like, what do you mean? There is nothing else that I want to do. So he loves the game so much that I can't see him not being a part of something. But then, so I'm going to say confirm, but I'm not going to lie. Sometimes when you're so involved as a player that maybe you just cut the cord when it's all said and done. Because you just need to walk away, or you'll
go crazy. Like, it based on his personality, right? Like, his personality, he is in the same vein as, you know, you look at a guy like Brady, right? Like, Brady has already signed a deal. He's working for Fox for the next 10 years. Peyton Manning's doing his thing with ESPN. Very visible. They're in the media. Not sure I picture media in Sidney Crosby's future. So,
no. But I'm with Andy, though. I'm going to confirm it, Hayes, because I do think, like, Sid the Kid is the definition of a hockey lifer. It's been his entire life to this point, and I just can't see a guy like that moving away from the game completely. He's going to be involved in some way, and I think it'll be a big way. I think it'll be a Steve Yzerman-esque, Joe Sakic-esque thing. I'm not saying he's going to be a GM, but I think he has that leadership quality, obviously. He's been a captain since he was a teenager, and he'll be a force wherever he wants to be a force, but I doubt it's going to be, you know, wearing one of these things talking about the game.
No, I can't. I cannot picture him doing it, although I couldn't picture Wayne Gretzky doing it, and he's doing it for TNT.
Yeah.
You know, I never saw that happening. You know, who knows 20 years down the road where Sid will be.
Yeah, but are you going to get hot takes from him?
No, but you don't get hot takes from Gretzky.
That's like what I mean. Like, they're not Charles Barkley. Like, you're not going to have these, like, players go in and then just kind of blow your socks off with certain comments and stuff. It's still just going to
It's not in their personality.
Gretzky's a great storyteller, though, right?
Like, yes, he is.
He's got a great memory. He's got great anecdotes. So I think he carries it that way. I'm not sure about Sid. Like, Sid's never come off as a great storyteller. Maybe he is one, you know, sort of secretly away from the microphones. Kind of like O-Dog. O-Dog was never filling notebooks as a player.
No.
And then when he got into the media business, he turned into a star. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's hard to prognosticate sometimes, and maybe Sid could surprise us.
He could. I mean, based on him being, you know, he's not a kid anymore, but he has no social media presence whatsoever. Mm-mm. And that doesn't necessarily have to mean anything for projection, but he doesn't seem to be seeking any spotlight for anything other than what he does on the ice. Like, that's it, the ice. You know, yes, he does promotional work. You know, he's the face of, what is it, Tim Hortons and, you know, a number of different major companies that he endorses. But in terms of this, I will confirm it with one role in mind that I see him taking on, and that is as the architect of Team Canada at the Olympic Games. Like, I see in his future, right? That doesn't mean he'll be a president of hockey operations anywhere else. Like, again, I can't picture him working anywhere else than Pittsburgh now, too, right? Like, Yzerman had to go to Tampa, then came back to Detroit. Sakic did start in Colorado, stays in Colorado, will be in there for a long time. I don't see Sid as the GM of Florida before he returns to Pitt. You know, like, I just don't picture that. So unless it's Pittsburgh, which with new ownership, I don't know if they're going to have the same association with him. But I could absolutely see him playing the role of Bobby Clark in 98, Gretzky in 02 and 06, Yzerman in 10 and 14. Like, I see that in his future. Hockey Canada calling him up saying, Sid, we need you as the voice box here, the face of it all.
New president right there. Oh, can't come soon enough, though.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to go in that direction, but I see him involved in the national team. I could see that being the case. But I am curious, like, what his future holds, because again, he's been in our lives for 20 years. I don't feel like I know him at all.
No.
Like Gretzky, I felt like we knew because we knew his dad. His mom would be at the rinks. We knew his brothers and sisters, and I don't feel like we know Sidney Crosby very well at all. And I think that's the way he wants it. And I credit him for being someone so popular and so well known to be able to withhold all
that. It's not just him, though, Hayes. It's his supporting cast that knows how to zip it. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been with, like, a long time, and here's the thing. I don't even know. Are they engaged, right? Like, he's had this, like, long-time girlfriend, nothing. Parents, you don't hear from them, nothing, right? Like, his whole support crew as well just shuts it down and doesn't say anything. If anything, I've heard stories more so from our boy Gord Miller, because Gord knows Sidney very well, and usually in the offseason they'll do some stuff, and he shared some stories about where Sid has taken the Stanley Cup and all this kind of stuff that's never been publicized, right? But, you know, obviously he has the permission to share some of these stories. That's where I've learned some stuff, even about Sid, or, you know, again, like I said, talking to Dan Bylsma and stuff, just some of the things, you know, when he was coaching him. Other than that, to your point, it's like you get nothing. Got nothing.
No, nothing. Nothing. All right, moving on. Confirm or deny. You say Kikuchi will still be making starts for the Blue Jays in the month of September. Confirm or deny.
I'm going to deny this. I think this is going to run its course. I think they're committed to trying here, Hayes and Andy. They're putting on a brave face and a smiley face after he does what he did last night, which is give up three home runs and, you know, give up a three runner in the first inning to really deflate the place and lose a game for the Blue Jays to the Baltimore Orioles with the inconsistency that has plagued him. But this can't go on forever. Can't be John Schneider saying we really like his effort, we really like his grind forever. And I gotta figure, like, we're in early August here. He's going to get a few more chances, and I see a situation where they're going to have to cut bait and say, you say you are evolving away from starting to be a bullpen presence because we don't have any left-handers out there, and we hope we never have to use you, by the way.
Not ideal.
Yeah, I'll deny, because when it also gets to crunch time, I don't know, you can't make mistakes. You can't. You just really there can't you can't be afforded any of those, right? If they want to make a good run here, so I'll deny.
Yeah, I'm going to confirm it because I just don't think they have options. You know, I think Ross Stripling, when he returns, he will return to the rotation clearly. Mitch White is a guy. Like, does Mitch White have the chops to be a guy pitching in September as well in your rotation? I'm not sure.
They might try him.
They're trying him right now, and I believe they will continue to try him. But, like, the only reason Kikuchi was back in the first place was because of the money and then because of the injuries. That money is still on the books in September. You know, it doesn't mean he's pitching in the playoffs, but in September, I think, you know, Atkins and company, they're going to make that call. It's not John Schneider. Schneider's got to go out and be the voice box and spin it positively. Until management makes that call, he's pitching every fifth day. Such a massive investment. They don't have any real options, you know, beyond it. And if Stripling's out for an extended period of time or another guy gets injured, Kikuchi's probably going to pitch. You know, like who else are you bringing up that's going to supply you innings? You know, you could go with openers. That's a possibility.
Well,
but
they might. They might have to, Hayes.
He's been awful. He's been awful.
I mean, it demoralizes the clubhouse if this guy's just going to be what he is. And there's really no hope around the corner that anything's going to change substantially. And to your point, too, it puts too much pressure on Gausman and Manoah to be the only two guys that this team can count on, especially if Barrios doesn't pick it up. So, man, I agree with you. The options aren't great, and they're certainly not a long list of them.
They're limited.
But I think they're going to have to explore them.
Moving on, confirm or deny. The NFL MVP will be one of the quarterbacks in the AFC West. So, in other words, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Russell Wilson, Derek Carr. One of those four quarterbacks, one of them will be the MVP in the NFL this year. Confirm or deny?
I got a big denial on this one.
Really?
Because I think the NFL MVP this very season, Hayes, it will not be your boy Aaron Rodgers for a third straight time. There'll be no triple crown. It is going to be Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
There you go, Andy.
I am 100% certain of this. As somebody who did grow up a Bills fan, I don't really cheer for anybody anymore, but I did grow up, you know, seeing the debauchery in the parking lot at Orchard Park in New York. Those fans need it. They want it, and that team can deliver it. I think Josh Allen is the man to be the best player in that league this year.
Okay, I like it.
He looked good last year, right? Like, I don't see why he couldn't, you know, repeat that. Last year was the real hope for Buffalo Bills fans. I wish it was Jalen Hurts, as we all know, supporting the Eagles. But that's what I was going to say. I think Allen's the one who's going to give everyone a run for their money on that one.
Yeah, I think Allen, I haven't looked at the most recent odds moving into the season, but he would be up there. Joe Burrow would be up there, although he's coming off the appendectomy, so I wonder how that might affect, you know, the start of the season for him. And then, you know, you got the elder statesman in the NFC with Rodgers, with Brady. But I'm going to confirm it. My concern is that there's four really good teams, four really good quarterbacks, and the winner of that division could be, you know, 10 or 11 wins because they all kind of eat each other up. So what is that going to mean for MVP votes? Mahomes always gives you a chance. Like, you can always feel pretty good about, you know, a safe bet in betting in Mahomes to win the MVP. Herbert seems to have the stuff. If the Chargers can get the coaching where they're winning, you know, he's going to put up insane numbers, likely. Wilson, though, screams, you know, conventional thinking in terms of the way the MVP works. A guy that moves on, it's a new spot, it's a really good franchise that just needed one piece to put them over the top. We've seen this story so many times before. He's had a great Hall of Fame career. He's never won the MVP. I don't think he's ever had a top three or top five vote for the MVP. If he can put it together and succeed out there, if they can win the division and he puts up big numbers, I think Russell Wilson has a real shot. So, you know, you're giving me four. I don't think Derek Carr is a legitimate MVP option, but I think Mahomes, Herbert, and Wilson are three of the six or seven true options to win it. It's going to be a quarterback, and, you know.
It's always a quarterback.
I'll take it. I'll confirm it. All right, final one here. The Brooklyn Nets will eventually lower their demands in a trade for Kevin Durant.
Oh,
they will be the ones to drop the price.
100% confirmed.
Yeah.
100% confirm, Andy, and you know, it's a dastardly play by Kevin Durant to leak that piece of information to Shams Charania yesterday to let the world know that he informed the owner of the Brooklyn Nets that it's either fire GM Sean Marks and coach Steve Nash or guess what? I'm not your guy. You're going to have to trade me. Puts the Nets in a terrible position. Obviously, it was designed that way. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant wants out, and the Nets are going to have to get him out. They can't allow this dysfunction to continue. They can't fire the coach and the GM and kowtow to that kind of, you know, crazy demand. So I think they're going to have to trade him. And for all the talk about how Joseph Tsai is going to extract every asset possible from whoever gets Kevin Durant, guess what? He's not. Because Kevin Durant is going to be traded, and it's not going to be for the kind of haul the Nets were hoping.
Yeah, I have to confirm it, too, because I think if you're also other teams, you're looking at what he's doing. Why would you want that in your room? You're now looking at these demands saying, get rid of this, get rid of that. Again, why would you want to welcome that into your room? So then you start to say, okay, I like the player. I still feel like he can give us something, but there's clearly drama that comes with it. You know, and I believe we had this conversation before. I think Hayes, you may have been off, but I remember this when we had this conversation about a month ago, filling in on Overdrive about players who were starting to make more demands, right? Trying to control a little bit more of their career. And I just said, be careful when you do that, because when you start saying, I want trades, or I want this guy gone, or I want that guy gone, like, they just, like, owners, other teams, they just start to figure it out. Like, it's nice to be able to say I can control my own destiny and I get to say where I go and play. But then teams start to be like, well, if you're that type of person, maybe our contracts to you are not as long. Maybe we're not giving you the longer deals. Or maybe we're not giving you as much power because suddenly you think you do have power and bringing in a coach and getting rid of a coach and all that kind of stuff. Like, the market always finds a way to correct itself. And in the NBA, I feel more than any other sport, like, the athletes have been the most vocal about where they want to be, where they don't want to be, who they want to be playing with, bring in, like they act like GMs and everything too. Be careful, because at some point that has an expiration date. That has like a shelf life, right? Yep. And people don't like it. And I think, you know, it's kind of put the Nets in a situation where I think they're going to have to drop their ask, because other teams are going, we don't want that.
Right. Well, and that's it. I'm sure there are some teams that are, you know, basically veered off because they're like, it's not worth it. We're not going to pay that price. And, you know, we can't trust them. We don't know what Durant's going to be like if he's in our town and in our room. You know, the Nets owner tweeted out last night, he's full support of Nash and Marks. So that's not changing. That was mandatory. He had to come out and support the coach and the GM. Had to. So they're sticking around. I'd love to see Durant have to show up at camp. It would be electric theater, man. It would be truly incredible to see him in camp trying to coexist with Steve Nash and Kyrie Irving. Now the reports are out that Kyrie hates these two. Of course he does. But I will confirm this as well, because you're dealing with sharks here. You're dealing with other GMs who they smell blood in the water.
Yeah.
You know, they smell the dysfunction.
Yeah.
They understand now that the owner's involved, it's just going to get worse for Brooklyn the closer it gets to the deadline, which I believe would be day one of camp. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they like Sean Marks, I don't believe now he can call up. We'll see. It has happened before where you hold your ground, you force a guy to show up, and maybe he will show up for the money and just for the pride and consistency of it all. Maybe he does. Maybe they work it out. Aaron Rodgers did end up working it out with the Packers. That was very tumultuous at the time. It worked out in the end. But the idea that Sean Marks, the GM of the Nets, can call other GMs and say, we don't feel like we're working on a timeline, probably doesn't hold as much weight anymore.
No.
If you're Steve Nash, though, you got to have a meeting, too. Like, if he's still around and you want him to come to camp.
If he's at camp, yes. I don't think you talk to him between now and, like, the middle of September. But once you're within days of camp and you feel like it's coming, you got to get out in front of that. You got to have some sort of a sit-down for sure.
That's just weird.
It is weird. All right, there it is. Confirm or deny, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Lease the 2022 RX 350 premium package from just $318 biweekly for 39 months. Available for immediate delivery. Details at DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Get to our best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Tee up the Jays game again. We got some news in terms of this lawsuit between the LIV players and the PGA. We'll tell you about that outcome next. All right, today's best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Looking at a double shot here, a player performance double. I like Alek Manoah, 6-plus strikeouts, plus a Toronto win tonight. That's paying plus 200. I love that action. I think Manoah deals tonight. I think the Jays get back on track with a W tonight. I like the over in the Mets-Reds game. And Ohtani's on the mound for the Angels, which always skews the price, but the Angels still don't win. Like, it doesn't mean anything that Ohtani's on the mound. The A's, now, Oakland doesn't win either. They literally don't win. They suck. But I will take Oakland at home on the run line. So I'm getting plus 1.5. I'm only laying minus 118. So there you have it. I'm sure that's not confusing for anyone that doesn't know what the hell I'm talking about. Today's best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. So these three LIV players who were hoping to play in the FedEx Cup, was it Taylor Gooch, Hudson Swafford, and
Matt Jones, was it?
And Matt Jones, the federal judges ruled against their plea. So they will not be in the FedEx Cup playoffs. So strike one for LIV in the court system.
But it does sound like bigger picture, like this is not over.
Not even close.
Like the judge basically saying kind of the timing of this is one thing, but sounds like there's a bigger, like the bigger antitrust court case.
It's going to happen.
Something in the law that it's going to happen next year, right? Kind of rescheduling everything, and this is, by no means over. Court case.
It's not.
Is just what I'm trying to spit out.
There you go.
And the thing that has to worry the PGA Tour about why it's not over is that Cam Smith, who currently sits second in the FedEx Cup standings, there's a report out there that he's joining LIV after it's all said and done, and he was just doing a press conference where he was obviously asked about that. He just stuck to the script of, I'm here to win the FedEx Cup,
right,
but I have no comment on that other stuff.
Now he Fergied it. I can't confirm or deny. He's gone. See you later. All right, we are evolving away from this show. It's been fun today. That was my last one, I promise. That'll be the end of it. It's been fun. Andy, it's great seeing you. as always.
Great being here.
And I hope we see you again soon. Dave, I know we'll see you again soon. There's Dave Festrick, the Toronto Star, Andy Petrillo. I'm Brian Hayes. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy all the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m. We'll chat then.
We'll chat then.
That's how you evolve away.